are just enough woods behind our house to get lost in. And Mom doesn't let Brian go out there by himself. He's 9, and I'm 13. Until last year, she didn't want me in the woods by myself either. Now I'm qualified to be his guide. Brian goes out by himself sometimes anyway, but that morning, she heard him sliding open the back door. "Take Eric!" she shouted. I was in the kitchen, reaching for the Cheerios. "Can you go with him?" she asked, now that she'd already volunteered me. "I guess so." I shook the box and heard the few remaining O's rattling on the bottom. "Spend the day with him if you can," she said. "He gets lonely." She grabbed the coffee pot, letting liquid drip and fizzle on the hot plate. She was going to work, even though it was Saturday. "Come on!" Brian shouted. "Fine," I shouted back, setting the box down. 2 minutes later, I was out on a bug hunt. It was still dark, and the morning fog made me feel even stiffer and sorer than I did when I woke up. It was warm for October, but the dampness sank into my bones. Some of the lesser aches and pains had faded, but the rest were now more distinct. A shoulder that felt not quite put back into place, and a dull throbbing in my head from an accidental helmet-on-helmet blow. On top of all that, my stomach was growling. "Why can't you just find bugs in the backyard?" I grumbled. "I like to look in different places," Brian said. "It's like what Dad says about fishing. You can't overfish in one spot." The path we were on was one of the better ones, snaking its way south to Boise Township. Birds were skipping around in the branches, trilling and chirping. Michelle can tell you which one is which, but I don't care. I just like the sound of them all going at once. As we came around a curve, a squirrel screeched at us and scrambled off over a rock. I was hungry, tired, and sore. But it was kind of nice being in the woods in the morning. "Let's look under there," said Brian, pointing at the boulder. It was about 3 feet across and 2 feet wide, bigger than I wanted to deal with, and nestled pretty deep in the mud. "Does it have to be that one?" "Why? Can't you lift it?" "Of course I can. I was just... never mind." I brought a garden shovel with me, knowing it might come in handy. I scraped the mud away from the sides of the stone, then got my fingers under it and gave it a big heave, wrenching the same shoulder that was already throbbing from a rough open field tackle on Thursday. The stone was easier to roll over than I had thought it would be. 2 or 3 grubs were there, waving their disgusting little appendages. I looked away and gagged. Stag beetles! Brian grabbed them up with his bare hand and dropped them into the jar he was carrying. He'd gotten good at identifying bugs, even larval ones, like the chubby, shrimp-like things that were nothing like the pincher bugs they would turn into, or would have turned into, if they hadn't been somebody's breakfast. "That's enough, right?" I asked. Brian nodded, but before we headed back to the trail, he stopped. "What's over there?" He pointed past some trees. "What?" I looked, but couldn't see anything special. Brian didn't explain. He bounded over the boulder and disappeared behind some bushes. "Come here!" he hollered. "You've got to see this!" I took a moment to memorize the scene. The big rock I just rolled over, the tree right next to it, and the bushes behind it. I didn't think we'd get lost, but it didn't hurt to have a marker or two. Once I had the scene committed to memory, I plunged into the woods after Bri. I stepped out on a quaking, jumbled layer of rust-red dead boughs. All of the trees were down in a ragged circle about 10 yards wide. The smell of rotting vegetation was overpowering, even to me, and I'm used to the smells of compost heaps and locker rooms. It looked like a spaceship had landed and crushed everything in its path. Even spookier was a faint bluish-green light shining up through the branches. "What's that?" Brian asked. "I don't know." I crouched and peered through the branches. There was a bubbling puddle of neon ooze underneath the fallen branches. Maybe the spaceship had left some alien goo behind to infest our planet and turn us all into pod people. I'm going to see. He dropped to his knees, set the jar down, and shoved one of the dead branches aside. He tossed one in my direction, sending up a cloud of white dust. Be careful, I told him. Even if it wasn't alien ooze, what if it was toxic waste? He threw a second branch my way, then laughed while I tried to wave away another dust cloud. But he wasn't laughing at me. Look, he pointed. There was a cluster of mushrooms, and every one of them was lit up like a little blue Christmas tree,